I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 19th chapter, and we'll begin with one verse in Luke chapter 19. This particular verse gives definition to the entire ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. To think that this is what we experience, God became a man without ceasing to be God. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, traveled this earth in the land of Israel, went to the cross, bled and died for our sins, was buried in a borrowed tomb and came forth from the grave alive forevermore, spent 40 days after his resurrection with his disciples, teaching those who knew him about the kingdom of God and dealing with them about the fact of his resurrection. He left them with no doubt that he lived, he died, and he rose again. He told them, "Because I live, ye shall live also." He said he had the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He went to a mount and ascended to heaven in their presence. And the Bible says angels stood by and said, "The same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." He's coming again. And while he was on the earth, he made this statement in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, given in the context of the salvation of Zacchaeus, a disliked, despised Jew who had turned on his own people to be a tax collector for the Romans. And the Lord said in the 10th verse, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want you to mark one word, if you would please, in this 10th verse, is the word "seek." Seek. And I want to speak to you on this subject, strange as it sounds, finding Kate Spade. Finding Kate Spade. I have an article, there have been many of them, from the Wall Street Journal that was put in my hands when her death was announced. It says, "Designer Kate Spade dies at 55 years old." And then a full-length article on the next page about this fashion designer found dead in an apparent suicide on Park Avenue in New York. And after investigating the suicide, people said, "We cannot imagine why a woman like this would take her life." You may or may not know that suicide is now at an epidemic stage in America, the greatest country in all the world. 45,000 people succeed in taking their lives every year in America. The increase in suicide among a certain age group, meaning her age group, has increased over 60% from what it once was. And people say there are two basic reasons. One has to do with finances, and the other has to do with relationships. Finances and relationships. But there must be more to it than that. Now, in detail reports, they're saying now that Kate Spade, this famous designer, was suffering with severe mental problems and had been that way for years, hiding her secret life from as many people as possible. Of course, her 13-year-old daughter and her husband of 35 years knew she had a problem, they say. But the other day, according to the coroner's reports, at 10:20 in the morning, she took a scarf from her closet and hung herself. Living in the most plush place in New York City, having everything you could imagine with fame and fortune. Her company had been sold a number of years ago, but this last year it grossed $1 billion. And I'm thinking to myself as I hear all of that, what in the world is happening? What is happening in this country? The Bible teaches us in the last days we will have perilous times. And God gives us a description of certain things that will happen in the last days. Perplexity and distress, being pressed from all sides, unimaginable pressure upon people. And we need to keep in mind that while you and I know the way, the truth, and the life to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, the vast majority of the people in the world do not know the way, the truth, and the life. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has commanded us that we seek the lost, that we find the Cade spades of the world. We find them. But we think they're not interested. I want you to listen carefully. We think they're not interested. We already imagine they won't hear. That what we've got to say is not of interest to them. This is a girl who grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, who went to Arizona State University, where she met her husband to be, and no doubt had typical college age experiences where someone could have reached her if there was a strong gospel witness on that campus. In the days of her young adulthood, before all the fame and fortune came, as a matter of fact, when she started out, her first experience into the pocketbook world, she thought was an absolute failure. But then the door opened, and everybody wanted a Kate Spade purse. How many of you have owned a Kate Spade purse? Would you raise your hand? The news said it was a rite of passage, actually a rite of passage for young girls from being girls to becoming women to get their first Kate Spade purse. That's how popular it was. But more than likely, if we had met this person, we would already have imagined, thinking in our mind, she's not interested in Jesus Christ, she's not interested in the Bible, and she's not interested in knowing the way of salvation. Because we imagine, at least, we think we're aware that people like that are not interested in things like we're talking about. But we've forgotten something. We've forgotten that God created all people in His image. And there's a vacuum in the human heart that cannot be filled, no matter what they have, fame, fortune, no matter what they have, unless Jesus is there to fill it. Now, not only do we know that from God's word, the devil knows that. And the devil has constructed a substitute religion, a counterfeit to biblical Christianity, a counterfeit that's full of religion, absolutely full of religion, to pass off to people before the true gospel of Jesus Christ can get to them. And may God speak to our hearts about all of this. There are many Kate Spades in our county, in our community. There are people who have had wealth or striving for wealth and perhaps think that's going to satisfy the longing and the greatest need of their life. But you and I know no amount of it is going to help. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus bears down on that in this particular passage. This man, Zacchaeus, was a wealthy man. If you turn back in the gospel according to Luke, it's as though God just was bearing down on this thing. In Luke chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenteous. In verse 20 of Luke chapter 12, the Bible says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich toward the world, but not rich toward God. Look again with me in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. In this whole series of scripture that God gives us at this moment. In Luke chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 1, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man." In verse 19 of the same chapter 16, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." On and on it goes. He even said to his disciples that a rich person will find it harder to enter into the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Meaning it is impossible for a person. The disciples were astonished. That word isn't used often. They were astonished at what he said, which meant it was impossible, and it is impossible without God. Oh, may God help us to understand these things. I want you to come, if you would, to the 19th chapter again, and then we're back to the rich. Oh, may the Lord help us. What do we need to learn? We know we have to act with urgency. If we're going to reach the Kate Spades of the world, the people without God, we're going to have to act with urgency, because we all live creatures of time. All of us are creatures of time. This woman was 55 years old with a 13-year-old daughter. She left a note. We don't know everything it said. They haven't revealed that yet. But she at least left part of the note to say to her daughter, "I want you to know, Beatrix, that it's not your fault." She was thinking. Her conscience was working. Her mind was functioning. She knew what she was doing. They're famous and infamous people, and people no one knows, taking their lives every day. As a matter of fact, every 12 minutes in America, someone takes his or her life. Every 12 minutes. What is our responsibility? Well, we need to tell people that that's never right. That's never God's will. That never pleases the Lord. That we know. But we need to go further than that and tell people that there's hope. But telling them there's hope is not enough. We have to live that hope out. A nurse came into little Will's room wearing a t-shirt, and on the back of the t-shirt it says, "All adults need to be smiling so that children know when they grow up they can be happy." Well, there's a bigger message in that. The world is watching us, our world, all around us. Someone's watching us, wondering about our life, thinking what we have or do not have. And if we know the Lord, we need to live in such a way that we demonstrate, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope, we have a future, it is certain, and God is our hope. That ought to be the message of our lives. All the time. You see, when something like this happens and the prominent news of it reaches our ears, it should be something we don't just pass off. We understand, what is God saying to all of us when 45,000 Americans are killing themselves, someone every 12 minutes? What is God saying to us? We have to find them in a hurry before someone does something like that, that we will know or we'll be personally involved with. And I say again, it must be done with urgency. With urgency. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Let's read again Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul was so convinced and so convicted of this. He had a courageous faith to witness, to be identified with Christ. He was unashamed. The issue is not whether or not Kate Spade needed Jesus. The issue, if we'll be honest with one another, is if we believe she could have received the gospel. I don't know why this happens or when it happens or how it happens, but many Christians get the idea there are certain people in the world, affluent people, people who have everything it appears that people need, who are just not going to be interested in anything we have to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing could be further than the truth. Further from the truth. Nothing further from the truth than that. Now look in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Separated unto the gospel of God. In other words, I'm given to this. I'm declaring that it's my responsibility to get the gospel to everyone. That's my job. I don't even want to say it's my main job. He said, that's my job. I've separated myself unto this work. If you know the Lord as your Savior, God wants you to separate yourself as a Christian to use every opportunity in human relationships to get the gospel to people. It may be someone at the restaurant who owns the restaurant, the manager that you seek out and say, I've enjoyed being in your restaurant today. And it might be a man or woman of means, and you pull a gospel tract from your pocket and you give that gospel tract to that person and says, the greatest thing ever happened to me is when someone told me how to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I'm giving you this. I want you to know him. The other day I had an opportunity to eat a meal with our mayor-elect in the Republican primary. And I was sitting right beside him. He's 7 feet tall. And he turned to me, moved his chair so he's looking only at me, and he said, Pastor, if this isn't too personal, I want you to tell me how you came to know the Lord Jesus. I said, Glenn, it's not too personal. I want to tell you. And I explained how someone took the Bible and explained to me that God loved me, that I was a sinner. And my sin debt was death and hell, separation from God forever. And they explained to me that Christ died for my sin. And I need to personally pray and receive the Lord Jesus by faith as my Savior. And I did, and he came in to my life, and he's changed my life and given me purpose and meaning. I told him about Robert Davis, who became the mayor in Blount County, who taught me as a young Christian that there's more to live for than yourself. I just saw Robert Davis's son, Bobby Jr., on Friday evening. He embraced me when I received this award for Tennessee Statesman of the Year in the 2nd District. And I said, well, you can thank your dad when you see him in heaven for anything like this. And he said, he'd be so proud of you. I said, this is what he has in mind, that we all live our lives not for ourselves, but for the Lord and for others. And when the mayor finished with me and listened, I said, now, I want to hear your story. Now, I don't know everything about his life. I know he was a former wrestler. He probably could still wrestle. He looks like he's in good shape. He's 7 feet tall. I don't want to pick on him. But I appreciated his question. And he told me his story and took me back 10 years ago when he reached the end of himself. And a young man who was a banker and a bivocational pastor, who was also the chairman of his campaign, confronted him about whether or not he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. That encouraged me. Now listen, there's not many people who say they're Christians who are going to walk up to some champion wrestler 7 feet tall and confront them with the gospel. But someone who is separated into the gospel of God, someone who's given themselves to witness, is going to have God give them the courage to do that. And you and I, if we're going to find the Kate Spades of the world and every lost person God intends for us to witness to, and by the way, he died for all people. He tasted death for every man, and we will never witness to the wrong person. We need to begin immediately because of the urgency of the hour, telling people about the Lord Jesus and telling them what he's done for us. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I've asked God to forgive my sin, and by faith I've trusted the Lord Jesus, my Savior, but I'm not able to put it into words. You just think you're not able to put it in words. Everybody has to work at it. God will enable you. You learned to tie your shoe, didn't you? You learned to say your ABCs, didn't you? You learned to drive a car, didn't you? Most of you learned to ride a bicycle, didn't you? And you can learn to be a gospel witness and be faithfully at it because the gospel is in you. Christ died for us, was buried and rose from the dead. And we tell them that gospel message because it says to them, we needed him to die for us because somebody has to die because we're all sinners. And he loved us to die for us so we don't have to pay our own sin debt. And he was buried and rose from the dead because he didn't stay dead. And he ever lives at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And if you ask him to forgive your sin and by faith trust him as your Savior, he promised he'd hear your prayer and come to live in your life. How would you like to be the person who turned someone around? How would you like to be the person that was on Park Avenue in New York City and ran into Kate Spade and recognized this famous designer and had the courage to give her a gospel tract the day before she took her life? Well, they're out there. And we need to be emboldened. They're out there. Discouraged, disillusioned people who have learned that money's not the answer. Fame's not the answer. Even the relationship with someone other than the Lord is not the answer. That only God is the answer. How many of you believe that? Then I'm going to ask you a question. If we say we believe it, then why aren't we confronting people with it? What is the gap between what we know and what we're not doing? Let's agree on something. First, let's agree on this. Are all men sinners separated from God because of their sin? Yes. Let's agree on the second thing. Can all men be saved who call upon the Lord? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. You believe that? So the Lord paid their debt. Then I ask this third thing, can we agree on it? Are all people saved the same way? By trusting in Christ and Christ alone. So they say, I've got religion. I belong to a church or a denomination or something. I said to you earlier, Satan has constructed a religious system that is opposed to biblical Christianity. And there's a fourth thing. Do we agree with God that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? Yes. Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, to tell this story of the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. How many of you have faith? And your faith is in Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand? Then that faith can only go forward by telling someone else about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they come to know him by asking him to forgive their sin and receiving him as their Savior and being born again. And that's a supernatural work. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not just a decision. It's a revelation God makes to you. When you truly want to know the Lord and come to him in faith, believing, he promised to hear your prayer and come to you. We've gone over that so many times, but we go over it again just in case there's someone here who's never heard. You call, God answers. Look at all he's done so that you may call and he will answer. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He tells us in his word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him. There are people this day in this audience, and no doubt people listening in other places, in the audiences that we go into through the broadcasting of our ministry, who are at a breaking point, who wonder, is there really any hope? Is there any reason to keep on? And I can tell you 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, yes, yes, God has a plan and purpose for your life. And he's done all of these things that we say he's done so that you might personally know him as your Savior. I'm praying today that we can find Kate Spade before she does something she should never have done. We've got to find her with hope, the hope of the gospel. We've got to be bold enough to confront her with the claims of Christ. She may have never heard them. We've got to be emboldened to pull gospel literature from our person and hand it to the most prominent people we come in contact with, to know that they also need the Lord. And the richest man in town can be saved, but he must be saved the same way everyone else is saved, by calling on the name of the Lord, seeking forgiveness of his sin, and receiving Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?